This is Digital Story Podcast number 603, September 26, 2017. Today's theme is Take a Hike. I'm Derek Story. I've always had a love-hate relationship with the news, which is ironic for someone trained as a journalist. But there are times when I hear and see things of which I have no control, and as a result, I become disheartened. Bad news seems as intense now as ever. There are a lot of folks that I'd love to tell, go take a hike. But maybe it's me who should hit the trail, and that is the topic for today's TDS podcast. One of the headlines that I read today, and this is probably what put me over the top to switch to this topic, was the cultural war that's going on in America. And I just find that so deflating because the last thing that I want to engage in with my fellow Americans is a cultural war. I feel like if nothing else, we should be uniting together to deal with the problems that are happening all over the world, inside our borders and outside. So having a war over culture just to me is frustrating. But there's other troublesome words that I'm seeing in the headlines all the time too. Words such as North Korea, hurricanes, earthquakes, protest, acerbic tweets, healthcare, foreign intervention, and intolerance. Now, a few of those words I can do something about. Many of them are out of my control. So I was thinking about this because, you know, stress really is having to deal with something that you have no control over. I mean, that basically is the definition of stress. So I was thinking about, okay, what am I going to do about this stuff? Because in all honesty, my job, in addition to, you know, showing up in your earphones once a week with something beneficial, positive, and hopefully entertaining to say, is to, in general, educate folks and to keep them inspired and to help them move forward with their chosen paths in their life. So I was thinking, okay, what am I going to do? How am I going to stay balanced? How am I going to stay moving forward? And it reminded me in an odd way of a relationship. And, you know, one of the things that I had to learn about relationships, personal relationships, is that I seldom, maybe I never, have control over the other person, right? Their behavior. What I do have control over is my response to their actions. And boy, I tell you, when I learned that about relationships, then suddenly the whole thing seemed a little bit more manageable. And to some degree, I think that applies to what I'm talking about here, the news and what's going on in the world. Very little of that I have control over. I mean, I do my thing. I participate in fundraisers, and I vote, and I stay informed, and I do all that kind of stuff. That doesn't really help me deal with, let's say, North Korea, or even to some degree, here at home, healthcare issues. Okay, it dawned on me, I don't have control over a lot of this stuff. What I do have control over is my response to these things. And I was thinking, okay, so what I'm going to have to do is find a way to remain energetic and productive and positive in light of a lot of things right now that make me sad out there. And I was going, okay, all right, now I'm on to something. And this is even more important in this area than, let's say, in relationships that I was talking about just a few minutes ago, because in a relationship, if you decide, if both parties decide, hey, you know what, we tried, it just isn't working, let's dissolve the relationship so that we can move on. Okay, I don't really have that option right now with what's going on in my country and in the world around me. I'm not going to leave America. I'm an American citizen. I love being an American, and I plan on always being an American. So that isn't going to happen. And in terms of leaving the planet, well, that's not going to happen until my card is punched. So, all right. So here I am. I got to deal with it. So one of my best tricks over the years has been to exercise outdoors. And there's something magical about this. And there's especially something magical about it when you get the formula right. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the formula that I use. Everyone's, I'm sure, is a little different. And I'm sure you're probably already doing things right now. But I thought maybe together we could revisit this topic and maybe we could do a little more of it. And maybe we can raise our energy a bit and maybe we will be more powerful out in the world so that at least there's a counterbalance to some of this other stuff that's going on. We can be the counterbalance, right? And in fact, I love that idea of us and others, you know, being somewhat of a counterbalance to a lot of stuff that's going on. So my big trick is exercising outdoors or taking a hike. That's what I call it, just taking a hike. And this happens in many different ways. I take little hikes first thing in the morning, very early. And I get up a little after 5 and am out doing a little 1 mile walk first thing in the morning when it's quiet. And that's actually going to be my first point, get up early. And then I do other hikes. I do hikes where I actually go on trails or in a park or ride my bike. There's all sorts of variations on this theme. The first one I just mentioned, which is get up early. And there is something different about doing an outdoor activity early. And for one thing, this is all through the lens of all of us being photographers. Because going outdoors and exercising is perfect activity for photographers. Obviously, we're going to bring a camera with us. But it is a good fit because not only do we get the benefits of balancing our soul, we also might get some good pictures, right? So getting up early has all sorts of benefits. So let's start with photography. The light first thing in the morning is fantastic. We all know this. So if you get up early, right away, you're putting yourself in a good photographic environment. Secondly, there is something about the vibe. And those of you that get up early and go outdoors know this. The world is more quiet first thing in the morning. Now, I'm usually out. It's pretty much dark the first time that I go out, and then it becomes light as I continue on my walk. And then hikes, like I did yesterday, I'm starting a little bit later, starting around 7 in the morning. So the sun is up, but it's still calm and quiet, and the world feels different. It's like all the hustle bustle hasn't started yet in the world, and there isn't all that frenetic energy. And that allows us to exercise in an environment that has, well, for lack of a better term, a much better vibration to it. So that's also good. And then there's something about us getting up and moving early in the morning, being productive early in the morning, and then looking up, and let's say it's 10 a.m., and you've already exercised, you've already balanced, you're already feeling the blood going through your veins, then you came back, and because your energy was going, you got work done, and then suddenly by 10 o'clock, you know, you've already accomplished a lot, whereas if you didn't even start your day till 8:30 or 9, then 10 o'clock is a much different thing. You're probably just warming up, and if you haven't exercised first, the speed at which you warm up isn't going to be nearly as fast. So there really is something to getting up early. There is an energy producing that is coupled with a nice, calm vibration that really gets the day off to a good start. All right, second point, be safe. And I just really feel like that I have to bring this up in part because of the world that we live in. And I don't know where you go for your exercise. If it's a city park, that's a much different environment than, let's say, this little hiking park that I have in the hills behind my house. I mean, every place is a little different. So I feel like that being safe has to be one of these talking points. And I also bring it up because, yes, I do travel alone a lot, but also I'm 6'7" tall and I weigh over 200 pounds. And quite honestly, a lot of people, especially creepy people, just don't want to mess with me. And so I'm lucky that way. I don't have to deal with a lot of creepy people face to face. they're creepy online, and that's a whole nother thing, but a lot of times they don't have to deal with me, my physical presence. So, and that, you know, that's one of the things about online that's so disheartening. But at any rate, when I'm out in the world, I'm walking around in the world, a lot of folks don't want to mess with me. Not everyone has that advantage. And so then you have to, you know, take into account what your situation is, and then make sure that you are safe enough, or that you've taken measures to be safe enough so that you can literally enjoy what you're doing. You need to be safe enough so you can enjoy the activity that you're engaged in. So one of the things that I think is very important is to carry a whistle. A whistle is the most efficient communication and emergency device in nature. Whistles are fantastic. They can help you when you're in trouble. They can help you when you're stranded. They use very little energy, and the sound carries very far. And believe me, nobody likes to hear a whistle if they're, you know, up to doing something bad. So whistles are fantastic. And I think if there's one thing that you carry with you, especially if you're traveling alone, it should be a whistle. And they weigh virtually nothing. Also, friends and dogs, they make great trail companions. And the only thing I say about dogs is make sure that your dog is on a leash. Dogs make great trail companions. Just make sure they're on a leash. Take whatever precautions you need to so that you can enjoy your experience outside. Because what you want to be able to do is enjoy the scenery, enjoy the sounds, enjoy the fresh air, you know, enjoy all that stuff, and not be worrying about every little sound that you hear. So be safe. I know it's a little bit of a buzzkill compared to the other points here, but I also feel a responsibility to include it. Next one, travel light. So I have another, people tease me because I have all these sayings, right? So I have another one of these sayings, and that if I'm not just a little bit cold when I start the hike, then I know I'm going to be way too hot when I finish. And again, this goes back to especially hiking in the morning. So you want to make sure that you have enough layered clothing so that you're okay, you know, when you start out the hike in the early morning, but not that you have to lug around, you know, once the sun does go up all the way and once you're exposed, then the temperature changes rapidly. And really, it's so much easier just to manage one layer that you take off instead of a heavy coat or something like that. So light layers, a nimble camera bag, enough water to stay hydrated. These are the things that you really need for a short day hike. You don't need a whole bunch of stuff. You don't need a whole bunch of camera gear. You don't need a whole bunch of hiking gear. You know, get it down to a science. Get it down to a science so that you're traveling light, you have what you need, you will be more creative, you'll be more nimble, you'll move around more, you'll have more energy. All good things come from traveling light. Don't bulk up. And sometimes, like on the hike yesterday, I just put an Olympus pocket camera in my pocket and had a water bottle with me, and my hat, of course, sunglasses, sunscreen, all that, which I had already applied, and out I went. So I didn't even have anything over my shoulder yesterday. And I got a pretty good shot, too. I just posted it on Instagram of a young man fishing with a beautiful lake. Keep it light, stay creative, stay energetic. The next point I think is very important, and this is why I think some people don't like hiking with me. It's not a race. I mean, you can go as fast as you wish, but if you go too fast, you're going to miss a lot of shots, birds, flowers, and much of the joy of nature. And the other thing that happens when you get caught up in the speed thing is that you don't want to stop. You won't want to stop. And I had to learn this about riding my bike around town too. I used to do this thing where I would time my routes and then I would compare them. And now I still run a timer, but now my timer is just to how much exercise I've done during the day. But I'm not timing laps or anything like that anymore. And the reason why I stopped doing it was because I didn't want to stop and take a picture if something presented itself. And the same thing can happen in hiking. You just get in this thing where your head's down, you know, you're powering up or down the trail, and you're missing all the stuff around you. So I just think that this exercise that I'm talking about is that you allow yourself to stop for pictures, to admire vistas, to have a sip of water, to take a deep breath, because that's part of the balancing. That's part of the refresh that comes from doing this activity. I just have to remind folks sometimes that this isn't a race. And when I hike with people who hike that way, I just let them go. You know, I don't try to keep up with them. I just say, hey, we're on a trail. If you want to know where I am, you know, just, you know, head back down the trail and at some point you'll find me. The idea here is to break the pace of our daily lives, not simply to move that pace out onto the trail. All right. And then the last point here on this is to keep your phone in your pocket. Unless you're using your smartphone as your camera, I would just keep it tucked away. And I would even turn on Do Not Disturb. And by the way, I don't know if you realize this or not, but you can configure your phone for favorites and then say that when Do Not Disturb is on, it filters out the other stuff, but your favorites, the calls will still come through. And then you set up your favorites as the friends and family, you know, people that sometimes need to get in touch with you and you want to be available to them. Those calls will come on, but the other stuff, all the other stuff will get filtered out. And I just think this is a great idea to, you know, disconnect. If your phone's beeping all the time and ringing all the time and you hear the headlines coming in and all that, then you're going to get sucked back into that and you're going to, you know, discount the activity that you're engaged in. So I think, you know, leave the phone in your pocket or leave it in your pack or whatever you happen to be doing. Yes, you want to make sure that you can get calls from close friends and family in case something goes down. You know, you want them to be able to reach you. Everything else should be able to wait until you're back in civilization. And I just think that this is a very important part of this exercise. You're not going to be gone that long. I mean, these activities that we're talking about are an hour, maybe an hour and a half, sometimes only half an hour. And you should be able to disconnect long enough to maximize, you know, those periods of time. Taking a hike isn't automatically going to solve the world's problems. We all know that. But if we stay balanced and healthy, then we're in a better position to contribute to the solutions that are needed out there. And that's what I want to be. And I have a feeling a lot of folks listening to the show, that's what they want to be too. ILCP WildSpeak coming in November. So International League of Conservation Photographers, ILCP, they are gathering again from all over the world to speak at WildSpeak 2017 in Washington, D.C. So I covered this conference last year. You may remember if you were listening to last year's shows. And I thought it was one of the most important conferences that I've ever attended. And I think that talking about WildSpeak today is a nice companion piece to the top story, you know, which is, you know, getting out in nature to balance ourselves. So it's going to happen again at Carnegie Institute for Science on November 14th and 15th. And there's a kind of an interesting backstory on that. First of all, if you've never been to the Carnegie Institution for Science in DC, it is a cool place. What a great place for this conference. But they were, the WildSpeak folks were concerned that they weren't going to be able to have the conference there this year because they are remodeling the Institution for Science. And they're going, and at one point the conversation was going, okay, you need to find somewhere else. So they were working on that and, you know, it just wasn't the same, just wasn't as cool. And then they found out that the remodeling was going to be done ahead of schedule in that they could have WildSpeak at the Carnegie Institution for Science. And that, in fact, WildSpeak will be the first event there after the remodel. How cool is that, right? First of all, how often does a remodel finish ahead of time? That, that like never happens. And then the fact that it finishes just in time for them to have WildSpeak there. So this is going to be a blast. I can't wait to go back to the Institution for Science, and I can't wait to see what they've done. In all honesty, as much as I loved it last year, there were, you know, rooms and areas where you go, ooh, you know, this could use a little love. And that's exactly what they've done. So this should be a lot of fun. The kind of presenters that speak there, they're top naturalists, they're biologists, they're nature photographers. All of these people have areas that they're really keenly interested in. Sometimes it could be, you know, the biology in the rainforest. It could be even as narrow as small amphibians in the rainforest. And that is what that speaker has been studying for a number of years and photographing, and that's what they'll talk about. Then it could be something completely different. It could be mammals in urban situations. You know, one speaker last year was talking about, you know, the big cats coming into, you know, metropolitan LA area, and, you know, how all of that was shaking out. Industrial pollution, some people study specific areas of that. Obviously, what's going on in the ocean. And it's fascinating because these people are so focused on whatever their topic is and have put so much energy and talent into studying it, and then come to this conference to report on what they've learned. And all we have to do is show up to the conference, and we benefit from all this work that these individuals have done, these very talented individuals have done. And it's mind-blowing. You learn so much. It is so dense. 2 days, and you learn many lifetimes worth of valuable information. We can also appreciate what they're doing in terms of their photography. Excellent and sometimes mind-blowing good photography. And the other thing that I recommend is that you save at least another day or two, because you are in Washington, D.C., to do things like go to National Geographic headquarters, which is there, to go to the Museum of Natural History at the Smithsonian, to do things like this, because you are in a place where there's a lot of related stuff going on. And then on top of all of that, Washington, D.C. is just a wonderful place to wander around on the streets and take pictures. You can start somewhere like, you know, DuPont Circle and just hang out there. You can go down to where all the embassies are and photograph that. Downtown Washington, D.C. There is just so much to do there. So not only go for WildSpeak itself, but go and spend some time in Washington, D.C. It is one of my favorite cities in the U.S. I just love being there. So all of this is happening on November 14th and 15th. All you have to do is go to the WildSpeak site to learn more about what's going on. You can see all the speakers, get all the information, and then register. And if you are interested in this sort of thing, if you are interested in conservation photography, I would go to WildSpeak first. That would be the first thing that I would do. And then if you're interested in learning how to participate more, and there are so many projects that you can do, follow up on your interests, and there are people there that will help you shape that. They will help guide you in the right direction, and they will provide the connections that you need to participate in the larger community. Good stuff, and I highly recommend it. So again, November 14th and 15th in Washington, D.C. There's a link in the show notes that'll take you right to the WildSpeak site, or just look up WildSpeak 2017. And if you decide to go, then let me know, because I want to say hi to you. I want to say hi to you when I'm there. This is part of the fun of it, is hanging out with other photographers, and especially photographers from our community who are interested in conservation photography. Wow, that's just like win-win-win, right? So make sure you let me know so that we can arrange to say hi there in Washington, D.C. Cascabel transfer with Lightroom. So last week I talked about using this cool little $15 app called Cascabel Transfer, which is just a wonderful app, especially when you forget your card reader, or your card reader breaks, or you don't have the cable or whatever, and you've got to get images off your Wi-Fi camera into your laptop, into your computer. and Caskable Transfer can help you with that if you have a Wi-Fi enabled Canon, Nikon, Fuji, Olympus, Sony, or Panasonic camera. And it can transfer RAW files, it can transfer JPEG files, it can transfer RAW plus JPEG bundles. It can do all that sort of stuff. So last week I talked about sending files wirelessly from your camera to your computer and having them land in the Finder or having them land in Photos for Mac OS. But it also works with Lightroom. Caskable comes with a plugin, a Lightroom plugin, and you enable the plugin, and then off to the races you go. And I've tested this. In fact, I got a couple tips for you. The basic steps are you turn on Wi-Fi on your camera, so it's transmitting, and then you log into that Wi-Fi network with your computer, and it shows up right there in the list of other Wi-Fi networks. So you log into your camera's access point, and then you launch Caskable Transfer. Caskable Transfer will see that connection to the camera, and then it will show you all of the pictures that are on that memory card. And you can either transfer them all, which I don't recommend because that could take a while, but you can pick and choose the shots that you want to move onto your computer so that you can work on them and do whatever you need to do. You can put them right in your Lightroom catalog, which I think is very handy. So one of the things that I learned doing this is that if you start to get the runaround the first time that you do this, saying that the plugin needs to be installed and yada, 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 what will happen is the first time that you click on the button, install the plugin, it'll get installed. But what I've discovered is that sometimes, even though it's installed, it's not enabled in Lightroom. So all you have to do is then switch over to Lightroom, go to Plugin Manager, find the Caskable plugin, and then just enable it. You know, it's just like clicking a little button. Then go back to Caskable Transfer, and everything should work fine. So if you start to get the runaround a little bit, just go to Lightroom, Plugin Manager, and that should solve that problem. Now, the other thing is, because Lightroom works off a referenced system, you know, with photos, it can go right into your library, which is in a container. With Lightroom, it's got to go somewhere. It's got to go somewhere on your computer. And there is an option to have the master files go to the desktop, and then they show up also in the Lightroom catalog. But that's not a very satisfying scenario, because you're probably not going to manage all of your masters on your desktop. So they should go in your pictures folder, in the Lightroom's masters folder, that kind of thing. So what I suggest is that before you run Caskable Transfer the first time, set up a folder where you store all of your other Lightroom masters. Set up a folder in that directory. I just call it Caskable Transfer. And then I go ahead and just import, not using transfer, just any old way, import a couple images into that folder to make sure everything's working. Then when I launch Caskable Transfer and I have this list of places that have been established in Lightroom where my masters are, then I can pick Caskable Transfer. That'll show up on the list and I can put the images in the right spot instead of having them, you know, on my desktop, and then I got to move them into my masters folder, and then I got to reconnect all that. You don't want to do that. So set up a transfer folder in your Lightroom's masters folder first, and then you'll be all ready to go if you need to use Caskable. So other than that, boy, once you get everything wired up, it's just a great safety net to have. And what I recommend if you're a Lightroom user, just get everything set up once, because chances are, if you're in a situation where you need to use transfer, it's probably a situation where other things have gone wrong and you're not going to feel like fooling around with it at that point. So go ahead and get Caskable Transfer, set it up ahead of time, get your directory set up for Lightroom, make sure the plugin is talking to the app, you know, all those little goodies. Then everything will be wired and ready to go. And then if you need it, then all you got to do is pick the shots that you want, have them go in the Lightroom, do your thing. Alrighty. Big thanks to Caskable for sponsoring this show, and I just really wanted to share this information with you. I hope you give it a shot. It is a wonderful application. And there's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, a Caskable tile, and if you click on it, it will take you not only to Caskable Transfer, but also the Caskable iOS app, too. So, you know, you can go either way there, but that tiles on all the pages of the digital story, and it is the easiest way to get over to Transfer, to download it, to learn more about it, and to get it on your computer. I have a few updates for you. First of all, our Nimble Classroom on Luminar on Saturday went really well. I'm very much enjoying this online classroom experience. And each time that we do it, I feel like I'm getting a little bit better at it. And I'm enjoying the interactions with the other students and enjoying teaching in this manner where folks... Michael, I don't know if you're listening. Michael's one of my students on Saturday. But he's across the pond. He's across the Atlantic. And he was tuning in, which is something that he could do, right? You know, he wanted to learn about Luminar, but he's not going to fly all the way to California from across the Atlantic to learn about Luminar with me. And I bring this up because at one point, as we were nearing the end of the class, we took a break, and he said, yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm having my dinner now, having a glass of wine, really enjoying, the classroom here. And I just thought, that's so great. That is exactly what I had envisioned with this, is that people can, enjoy, learning and communicating with other folks that are in our virtual camera club, but, do it in an environment that is easy on them and very affordable. So our next two classrooms are going to be on Photos for macOS, macOS High Sierra. So the October one is sold out, but the November one still has some seats. And then after that, then I'm going to have a new series of classrooms. And so I'll let you know when that happens. If you're interested, we still have a couple seats for the November Photos for macOS High Sierra. Just go to thenimblephotographer.com and click on Classroom, and you'll see everything that's going on there. Also, a big thanks to our Patreon members who are supporting this show, who are keeping the lights on. Between Patreon and Red River Paper, that is the backbone of our show. And then when we have wonderful people like Cascable and some of the other folks that have come on to sponsor for short periods of time, that rounds things out. But month in and month out, Patreon and Red River Paper are what keeping the show on the air. And I just, big thanks to all of our Patreon members. If you want to become a part of the inner circle, just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, and you can join this group, and you can be a part of the people that are the most important listeners that we have. Alrighty. Thank you, Patreon members. Bless you. And finally, a big thanks to Red River Paper, the folks that create the paper that I print on, the folks that provide the website where I go for my information, where I buy my ink, where I get my envelopes. I mean, if it wasn't for Red River Paper, I'm not quite sure, how efficiently I would be in this whole area of output. I'm sure my whole life would get turned upside down and I'd be scrambling all over the place. So they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They are our longest running sponsor, and they provide me with all the tools that I need for output. And think about it, one-stop shopping for your output world, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. A big thanks to them. And make sure, if you haven't been over to their site for a while, that you head over there and take a look at what's going on. Get yourself some paper. Get ready to go. The holidays are going to be on us very quickly. And you want to be able to make a print. You want to be able to make a fine art card right away. Right away. You don't want to have to order the stuff then. You want to have it, make the card, head off to that holiday party, make someone's day. Well, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm very excited about WildSpeak. Can't wait to go again in November. And I hope I get to see some of you there. And then this other thing about staying balanced, staying energized, being a positive force. I think this is one way that really helps us do that. I know there are many other ways too. And I just want to think in my mind that this community, the people that listen to this show and participate on our social sites, are the people that are trying to move the ball forward, trying to unite people and not divide them. And I'm pretty sure that I'm right about that. So until next week, when we move on with the wide world of photography, have a good week. Go out there, do something positive, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.